superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Microsoft Teams. When there's more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. When I am thinking about this.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I don't truly linger too long about what it would mean that Trevor Lawrence would come and be the quarterback of the Jets.
What a run by Trevor Lawrence!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Today's guests. SportsCenter host Scott Van Pelt, NFL Network analyst Joe Thomas, Los Angeles Chargers running back Austin Eckler, plus Tenet writer and director Christopher Nolan. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, everybody. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show here after week 14 ended in wildly entertaining fashion on Monday Night Football. I am your humble host. Chris Brockman is sitting in his chair across the way over here. My friend across the aisle right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you. Del Tufo has the day off. Mr. Freeman is sitting in his chair. Not Mike Del Tufo is back once again here on the Rich Eisen Show. Settling into his chair, social media grandmaster of the Rich Eisen Show, TJ Jefferson. A good Tuesday morning to you, sir. Good Tuesday morning to you. Okay, so, wow. How to unpack this baby. Okay, we were talking about game of the year prior to week 14 being the Sunday night game between the Seahawks and the Arizona Cardinals. That was kind of the game of the year status. That was back in week 7. That was when we recall DK Metcalf ran down Buda Baker. That was when Seattle had the lead, needed to convert late on a fourth down situation, third down situation, could not, gave the ball back to Arizona, which forced overtime. There were missed field goals. There was overtime. There was Kyler versus Russell. And you had two teams that knew each other, don't like each other, division battle. And that was amazing. And that was your clubhouse leader after 7 weeks. Well, after 14 weeks, 7 weeks later, we've got a new clubhouse leader for game of the year. What we saw last night was it. Game of the year. Between a Ravens team that you think has to win out because of their dreadful conference record in terms of a tiebreaker for them. Sniffing it coming into the weekend. On the outside looking in, Cleveland coming in, looking for their 10th win of the season to go 10-3, which they had not won 10 of their first 13 games of a season since 1969. The year I was born, I'm a 51-year-old man. It's been a while. And Cleveland had it right there in front of them against a Ravens team that blew them out in week 1. They got a 4-game winning streak after that. They had another 4-game winning streak coming in last night. And it was awesome. It was dynamite. It was 89 points worth of dynamite. It had 878 total yards. It had 369 rushing yards. It had 9 rushing touchdowns within it. It had not one, but 2 different Ravens leads of 2 touchdowns or more. It had an interception that Baker Mayfield threw, his first in over 5-plus games, that almost led to a pick six. It led to the first of 2 J.K. Dobbins scores on the night. One was a touchdown. One was a 2-point conversion of former The Ohio State University Buckeye back in the state of Ohio. It had Lamar Jackson looking like the MVP of 2019 running and throwing. It had Baker Mayfield throwing down the field. It had all sorts of what you wanted to be entertained. It had a blocked extra point. It had Cody Parkey of the Browns, formerly of the Bears, kicking like he wanted to be back on the Today Show the next day. It was all over the place. It was absolutely all over the place. Now, we have, however, seen games that have been on tilt with scoring and crazy things happening. But we had a first last night. We had a first last night.
Really?
Yes, because towards the end of this game, when the Ravens took a 2-touchdown lead in this game, we had the first ever instance of the entire free football world wondering the following question.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
I can't wait.
Did the reigning most valuable player in the National Football League have to drop some kids off at the pool? Let me rephrase it in terms you as a newfound father might understand.
Thank you. Let me
be more direct.
Please do.
Cut to the chase.
Did Lamar Jackson have to leave the game to go boom, boom? Did he?
Did he drop some wolf bait?
I don't know what was going on. All I know is the Ravens are up.
Duty.
And Lamar Jackson left the field. And all of a sudden, Trace McSorley's out there because RG3 got hurt. Couple games ago, he's out. Trace McSorley's in the game.
We are.
And yeah, Penn State getting it done late in the game, handing it off as he was struggling on offense, and the Browns defense that, by the way, had Myles Garrett leave the game holding his elbow, which you never really want to see, and he came back in. I mean, the Browns' defense was eating up Trace McSorley and giving the ball back to Baker Mayfield. Browns going for two when you're wondering why they're doing that. Analytics rears its ugly head all of a sudden. And Trace McSorley is marching him down the field for the eventual assumed game winner from Justin Tucker. And all of a sudden, a play call that's straight out of like James Franklin's playbook. As all Ohio State fans will recall, remember that one time where Trace took it himself on fourth down, and you're wondering where did that play call come from? After Gus Edwards is gashing him and Dobbins is gashing him, they decide to let Trace McSorley keep it on third down. And he goes down in a heap because nobody had their footing last night on that field. He goes down in a heap, seems to seriously hurt himself, and all of a sudden you're wondering, RG3's out, and Lamar's out because he might be, you know, having his dumb and dumber moment trying to vacate the cramps that he is reported to be having. And all of a sudden, who comes running back on the field? Like
5 pounds lighter.
You know, and we all know, when we found, you know, a newfound moment. You feeling good? Spry?
A little quicker.
Yeah. Come back feeling 10 pounds lighter.
Man.
So when it all comes down to it, who comes running back on the field? It's Lamar Jackson. 2-minute warning. Let's come back. He's out there. It's fourth down. It's Lamar Jackson. And what does he do? He finds Hollywood Brown, which has been the big problem for the Ravens all year. These two haven't connected. Certainly not in a moment. You're thinking Lamar's going to run it for himself because he's got 100 yards on the day, and he had it right in front of him, and he stopped, and he threw it. And when he threw it, I thought to myself, why are you doing that? The first down's in front of you. Oh, he's wide open, touchdown. You've got to be kidding me. And then Baker gets the ball back and marches it down the field himself to tie the game because, fittingly, why not? After Lamar found Hollywood Brown, this game and quarter and Lamar moment is brought to you by the number two. They go for two. which is just dynamite. I mean, just it was a piece of low-hanging fruit for me that it was, you had to wonder if it was the second time that Lamar successfully went for two in the quarter. I didn't for a split second hover my thumb over the tweet.
Immediately hit send.
Boom, out the door.
Low-hanging fruit is delicious.
So this game's tied, and what happens after the Dobbins two-point conversion but a tie game because Baker marched down the field? And what happens next? Lamar comes out with a minute to go. And what does he do? He slings it down the field. He's just looking like 2019 all over again. The MVP of 2019 showed up last night for the Baltimore Ravens. He was all of that and a biscuit we haven't seen all year except for week one against the Browns. So I guess maybe he views the Browns this year in the same way that Derrick Henry views the Titans all the time. Because he showed up out of the Madden cover and into in living color in your living rooms last night. He was dynamite. And he was slinging it down the field. Andrew's here. Andrew's there. This play, that play. No timeouts left. And you're thinking, one, I know it seems a little bit extra greedy to get those 2 extra yards. Justin Tucker, 55 yards straight through the uprights. 2 seconds left. Game over. Except for those who apparently have hard-earned American dollars on this game. Now, I had no idea, Chris. As you know, I'm unfrozen caveman lawyer, right?
Dude.
When it comes to betting lines and whatever. I had no earthly idea. Oh. Justin Tucker kicked one through the uprights from 55 out. I think the game's over, and I'm, you know, ready to watch Scott Van Pelt after the game. And Dipsy Doo, they start flipping the ball around. Band's out on the field. All of a sudden, ball goes through the back of the end zone because you're not going forward. You're going backwards.
Going backwards.
Final score, 47-42.
Get out of here.
Van Pelt comes on the screen to start his SportsCenter show, and he comes on the air with a big shrug like that. And I began to think to myself, something's up. I texted you. I'm like, did that mean something?
Sure did.
Browns plus three, right? Ravens minus
Browns,
three.
Browns plus three.
And so to use the Nick Bakay phrase, with 2 seconds to go, it was a push.
Browns fans happy. Browns bettors happy to get a push after that wild game.
Nope. Oh, my word.
Unless you're an idiot like me and bet the Browns money line.
Oh, I don't even know what that means. God bless it. I mean, oh, my God, what a game. Had it all. And now after the game, you got this from Robert Griffin III. Here you go. Buda Baker's the Browns lead. DK running him down is Lamar after pooping. After pooping. So, God bless it. God bless it.
Pooping.
I'm watching the Scott Van Pelt postgame show, and Scott's going to join us in this hour. Okay? I'm watching the postgame show. Lisa Salters, who's been a dear friend of Susie's and mine for quite some time, we go way back. She's interviewing Lamar. She asked him, what did you have left in the tank after you came out of the locker room? And I thought to myself, I don't know if Lisa's on Twitter or anything like that, or if that was a little wink and a nod or anything like that, but my gosh. And you know, you could see how Lamar has the adoration of his team. They were all coming up to him and slapping him on the back and just celebrating.
I mean, John Harbaugh
was in there.
What
a dynamite finish from him. And again, he said and the Ravens said he was cramping, which does make sense here because of how long he was in the locker room, that he had an IV, and it was an IV. That's what he told. He told Lisa Salters he had an IV, and he had to take the IV because he was cramping badly. And in all seriousness here, this guy did have COVID-19, for crying out loud, 2+ weeks ago. And as Steve Levy mentioned on the broadcast, he said he slept for 10 straight days. So, you know, it would be understandable if the guy has some issues staying hydrated and not cramping in the middle of a big game. But he did come back and looked at me. That's one hell of an IV. I'll have what he's having, to use the phrase from When Harry Met Sally. Okay, I'll have what he's having. So after the game, though, because, you know, guilty as charged, many of us on Twitter and
It was great.
In Twitterverse, we're wondering again, maybe it wasn't cramping. And the question was put point blank to Lamar afterwards.
Just to clarify, you didn't have to use the bathroom or anything in the back, right? You know, there was a lot of talk on social media that you were kind of like jogging, like you had to use the bathroom or something.
No, I was cramping. I ain't putting a Paul Pierce. I didn't put a Paul Pierce. I was cramping.
Okay, now for those who might need a refresher, pulling a Paul Pierce, what does that mean? Let's flash back to the 2008 Finals, Game 1, Boston Celtics. Paul Pierce goes down in a heap underneath one of the baskets.
Yeah, it looked like all of his ACLs were broken.
Right.
Everything.
Out comes a wheelchair.
Yep.
And wheelchaired him off into the locker room. And we're thinking, forget about Paul coming back in this game. Forget about him coming back in this series. Like, what's going to happen for Paul Pierce's future? He's wheelchaired off of the court into the locker room in an NBA Finals game one. I mean, what a finals-altering injury, if not potentially career-altering injury for Paul Pierce, who then suddenly comes running out of the locker room. Like nothing happened.
And it hits a huge shot immediately.
Cut now to the 2019 NBA Finals. Paul Pierce on the set, live on ESPN, says he has a confession to make that in the 2008 Finals, he had to go to the bathroom, which is why he was wheelchaired out, because he said something had quote-unquote happened, requiring him to get some assistance to leave the court. He fully admitted, I had to poop, everybody. Don't use that as a drop. If you will, figuratively. And so, again, his reaction to the question, he furrows his eyebrows like he's never heard this before. And many people are thinking, because they are in the know of what everybody else was thinking, that that is Lamar being a little bit less than honest and play acting like he's never heard before the concept that he might have had to be going to the bathroom and not get some sort of intravenous help to get his fluids going, to get the cramping out, and to get back on the field. And I will say this. We know on this show firsthand how Lamar Jackson has, as a default mechanism, just flat out being himself, telling the truth, doesn't have a bone in his body that would shade the truth. Because he was on this show 3 weeks ago, and we asked him point blank on this program, hey, it seems like things are coming tougher for your offense this year. What do you attribute that to? And part of his answer was, well, some of the defensive players we're hearing are calling our plays out before we're snapping the ball. And that's Lamar telling, that's just Lamar talking. That's just him being himself. I don't think this kid has any ability in his body to shade the truth. I really don't. So let's take him at his word. He was getting fluids, not, if you will, vacating anything but his presence from the game until he could get back out there. And when he did, man, did he come through for a team that needed it. Oh, my God, did the Ravens need to win that football game last night. Because now, if we do, in fact, have the 2019 MVP of the league entering the arena for the first time in 2020 with a significant wind at his back. I didn't mean that.
You are on fire right now.
They take on Jacksonville, who's starting Gardner Minshew again. They take on the Giants, who look like they turned into a pumpkin, and then they finish up at Cincinnati. That right there, people, that right there are three more wins and a five-game win streak for the 2020 Baltimore Ravens since finally playing that rescheduled Thanksgiving game against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And what that would do for the Baltimore Ravens, because that would be two more conference wins, which they need. They would finish 7-5 in conference and 11-5 overall. That should be well enough to make the playoffs and potentially set up another visit to Pittsburgh, which had a huge sigh of relief when the Ravens won. because that keeps Pittsburgh two games in front of Cleveland. Cleveland would have to win out, including beating Pittsburgh in the final week of the season at home. They'd have to win out and hope that the Steelers lose out in order to get in front of Pittsburgh in the win column, as opposed to just them being just one game behind them. And unfortunately for the Bills, they're just going to have to take care of clinching for themselves. The Ravens' loss would have clinched a spot for Buffalo after 14 weeks. Instead, it's just going to have to be on them to do it this week. That was a huge W for the Baltimore Ravens. Monster W. Now then, the Browns will have to take the old moral victory out of that. I know they're not into that idea. They're still 9-4. Boy, do they have a great run game. They do have an explosive offense. And the defense just didn't show up last night. They had problems with Lamar, but we might find that to be a league-wide issue here moving forward. Joe Thomas, future Pro Football Hall of Famer and Cleveland Brown of note, will be joining hour number two to talk about this. Scott Van Pelt will be joining us. When is, do we know when he's going to be joining us here on the show?
About 10 minutes, coming up.
Yeah. Very good. In our next segment, Scott Van Pelt, who was dynamite in his post game show from Shrug on out, will be joining us to discuss this game. Austin Eckler of your Los Angeles Chargers will join us at the top of hour number three, and we have a very special conversation coming up in hour number three. Movie talk with one of the greatest directors of our generation, the writer and director of Tenet, which is out on DVD and Blu-ray and so on and so forth on this very day. Christopher Nolan will be joining the Rich Eisen Show right here to talk about Tenet, Dark Knight. Oh my gosh. We're just going to have a great conversation with Christopher Nolan in hour number three. And with you at 844-204-RICH. My four downs as well, now that we're done through a week of football. That's coming up. We'll talk about Jalen Hurts and the first overall selection. I've sussed out the way the Jaguars can get it. That's coming up. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. With Together Mode, you can bring everyone together in one space in the same virtual room. You can bring the power of true collaboration to your projects with whiteboard, drawing, sharing, and building ideas in real time, all on the same page. And with large gallery view, you can see more of your team all at once with up to 49 people on screen, all at the same time. You can even raise your hand virtually so everyone can be seen and heard. When there are more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. RichEisenStore.com. Check it out right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We're back here on NBC Sports on Peacock. We've got about 30 seconds back till our radio audience returns. And then we will get to Scott Van Pelt, who had a dynamite post-game show yesterday and last night. You know, it's amazing how he does what he does, and it's old school. It feels like I'm back on SportsCenter. But it just feels like the old days when I watch his show. Again, I might be biased, having worked with him and worked alongside him and known him for a long time. But Scott's about to join us here on the show. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on our radio affiliates. Joe Thomas is going to join us in hour number two. And I just figured, you know what, Brian Greasy, who called the game, is going to join us on Wednesday's show. So we'll talk to Brian about what he saw right there in front of him. And what we saw was a Cleveland Browns team that has the horses, just couldn't put it together last night to stop Lamar, who was just amazing. You just cannot give enough credit to the way he looked last night. And I know it wasn't pretty early, you know, I know it wasn't pretty with some of his throws. He had only three passes, right? At one point in the game, he had only three passes.
Like four in the first half?
But I guess it doesn't really matter when he's running for 100 yards. And they're putting all those points up on the board. And like I said, the Ravens are now 500 in conference. To just let you understand where that stands, they were under 500. They're 5-5 in conference. They also have the tiebreak now over Cleveland. Okay, they're just one game behind Cleveland. They've swept Cleveland. That is huge for them. The door is now open for Cleveland to miss the playoffs if they start losing games. Because all the Ravens have Jacksonville, the Giants, and Cincinnati. The Giants one, we don't know if it's going to be the Giants team that we saw on their four-game or five-game win streak. We don't know, all right? Oh, it was four-game. They went from 1-7 to 5-7. Okay, we don't know which Giants team is going to show up. So you could basically say that's 2-1 the rest of the way. That's 10-6.
Right. Cleveland does have the tiebreaker on Indy, though, which is huge for them.
But the problem is that before they have a tie, if it's all three of them, if it's Browns, let's just say it's Browns, Ravens, Colts.
Right.
What the league does is they break any tie breaks in division first. So the Browns would be kicked out. Their win over Indianapolis means nothing if there's a third team in, certainly that's got a tiebreak over them in division. That's the problem. Cleveland needs to keep winning, take care of their own business.
And Cleveland kind of needs Miami to keep winning because Miami has the tiebreaker over Baltimore.
Interesting. Boy, there's lots going on. Is Mr. Van Pelt on the phone?
Yes, he is.
His was the shrug that was seen around the world last night and gave voice to a lot of people who just suffered a bad beat. You could say the Cleveland Browns suffered one as well. He is none other than ESPN SportsCenter Scott Van Pelt, Midnight Eastern host, and so much more back here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Scott?
I'm better than the Browns plus three.
You know, I got to be honest with you, Scott. And I, me being an NFL employee, I don't really.
Of course.
And this is true. This is true. I really don't pay attention to that sort of stuff. I don't. I might have been one of the few Americans watching that final dipsy-do or whatever you called it in your highlight reportage afterwards. What did you call that play again when you were doing the highlights afterwards?
Rich, that play is called pitchy-pitchy-woo-woo. I invented the term. The woo-woo,
yes.
My friends and I, for reasons yes. I honestly don't know, is the gambling term we invented decades ago to yes. describe the play where like something horrible happens at the very end of a game. Where you get crushed, some horrible bad beat. And then the pitchy-pitchy thing is this new horrible trend where teams, and Northwestern really, I think, gave birth to it yes. against Ohio State years ago, where Brent Musburger famously said, some people are saying, you've got to be kidding me, because they started pitching the ball around. Which, by the way, it makes sense. It's the only thing you can do to have any hope. Hmm. But inevitably what happens is in pitchy-pitchy woo-woo is people start chucking the ball all over the place, and they go 40 yards backwards, and then the defense just falls on it for a touchdown. And last night, the pitchy-pitchy woo-woo resulted in a safety.
Which, again, unbeknownst to me, because I just decided many, many moons ago not to even pay attention to it, to even be attracted by any shiny object that friends tell me should be a shiny object worthy of my attention financially. I just don't pay attention to that sort of stuff. And then game over, then you show up and you just shrug, just like with you, just give a shrug. And I realized on the spot, oh, God. That's when I texted you, Brockman, right?
Oh, yeah.
I said to you, like, did
news.
That mean something?
Sure did.
Scott, well, that was amazing.
Here's the thing, Rich. Yeah. Let's just be, like, I understand. I appreciate the fact that you don't pay attention. And yes. I also know that not everybody is enamored with the topic. But many moons ago, I
yes.
decided to deal with the elephant in the room because many, many people do. A lot of people bet on sports, and as we have seen, particularly over the last 12 months, 24 months for sure, the pendulum has swung in the direction of it being legalized more places, and the NFL has softened its stance to a degree, but they still haven't come all the way full circle.
Yes.
And so as a result, out of sort of respect for the fact that the league doesn't fully embrace, even though they have a team in Vegas and teams have official gambling partners and sponsors, which is a fun trick. I at least am a little bit more tongue-in-cheek about how I refer to it, hence a shrug, which you say nothing, but you say everything in that moment, right?
You sure did, Scott. You sure did. So walk me through how you're watching the end of that game on your
set.
Walk
me through it. The minute that the because I'm looking at the clock, and see, this is terrible, okay?
Yes.
Anybody, that we always call ourselves degenerate gamblers. Let's just call it, we're just gamblers,
yeah,
right?
Sure.
Any gambler looks at the clock when Tucker comes out, and you think, how long does it take to kick from 55? 7 seconds. No, it's going to, there's going to be time left on the clock when he makes this kick.
That's what you're thinking when Tucker's coming out? That's what you're thinking when Justin Tucker's, that's what you think when Justin Tucker's coming out. That's what you're thinking.
Well, I think that's because I know Justin Tucker's making the kick because he's the best kicker in football.
Sure.
So I'm already working off the presumption he's making this, and there's going to be time on the clock. And just so we're clear, I have no action on this game. It doesn't impact my life at all. I'm just thinking, content-wise, we could be looking at a horrendous ending here. And so the minute he makes it, there's 2 seconds left, and you go, well, here we go. Because Cleveland's not going to return it. And then there's going to be 2 seconds left, and what are they going to do? Well, they're going to start pitchy-bitchy-woo-woo. And before you know it, like, the thing about that play, Rich, is that inevitably, in 5 to 10 seconds, you're 20 yards backwards. Like, it never advances. It is incumbent upon 1,000 things going wrong for the other team, but they never do, and so you just end up lose. You've got 25 yards to work with, so very quickly you're on your 5, and linemen are involved, and you're hoping somebody wearing a number that starts with a 7 doesn't have his hands on the football. And that never happened last night, but you could see it coming a mile away. And you know, when Landry ends up within the end zone, I'm just like, oh heavens to Betsy, these poor people who. And by the way, it was going to be a push,
right?
So like after all that game, which best game of the year, spectacular. Riveting action, and that's the main topic of conversation,
yes,
for our show, is what a phenomenal game we got, and Lamar coming out on 4th and 5, impossibly, and all of that. But then the fact that that incredible game, division rivals in Cleveland, all of it, ends like that is just this perfect little cherry on top of the sundae.
Scott Van Pelt here on the Rich Eisen Show, and you are spot on. I mean, what a game it was, and it ended with a gambling anomaly with the safety, mm-hmm, that meant absolutely nothing because of the aforementioned, as you said, pitchy-pitchy-woo-woo, that type of play that goes down. And then we saw all those rushing touchdowns, 9 of them that tied some record that happened, you know, after Arnold Rothstein had 8 men out and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, and Lamar taking the lead and then Baker taking it back and then Lamar disappearing. So I ask you, sir, in the middle of all this, what do you think was, in fact, the, if you will, pitchy-pitchy-woo-woo that was happening with Lamar in the locker room in the fourth quarter?
I saw your tweet about something about maybe the second time they'd gone for 2. Successfully
went for 2, because that is what happened
after
he emerged.
He himself said, I didn't have a Paul Pierce moment. God bless Paul Pierce. He's got a Hall of Fame career. And the reigning MVP references him as the guy who pooped his pants. I mean, this is not the best thing to be known for. And yet that was how he was referred to in that moment. I would say,
yes.
Let's just say this, and we're being children right now.
No, that's why we're doing this. Yes.
I'm more than willing to come along for the ride and be a child. that sideways strut towards the locker room was not the strut of a man. It was cramping. It was the strut of a man that had what we call the green apple quick step. Okay. That's the green apple quick step.
You know what? The one moment that sealed it for me was when somebody was standing in the doorway of the locker room and Lamar basically gave the guy the arm movement of, get the hell out of the way, I got to get in there, you know?
Yes, yes. Very quickly, sir, you need to move because I have things to tend to. But all right, I'll continue to indulge this conversation.
Please, Scott.
That was, I think, let's be honest. We've all been there. I mean, I'm letting you into the dwarfed mind of Van Pelt here with the terms that I use to describe things. It's a poop panic attack. We've all been there. You've got to, it's like you're seized with terror. You've got to find the toilet.
Yes.
It's okay. It happens to everybody. But if that happens, Rich, that's a quick moment and it's over.
Yes.
Like it passes. He was gone for quite a while. So that's why the cramping actually it holds water for me.
Well, in terms
even
of the
if he couldn't hold his.
Well, because the cramping that part of it that does hold water is okay. Two things. One is that if it was such an urgent moment, he should have been back well before the second to last possession of the game for him. And then also, you know, this is a guy, Lamar Jackson, who on this very show, Scott, showed that he cannot shade the truth. When I asked him how things appeared more difficult offensively for him this season, he's like, yes, the defenders are calling out our plays sometimes. And I, you know, followed up after that to make sure that, you know, my simple question did not burn a bridge, torch it over the River Kwai with the Ravens. That this is who he is. He's just a guy who just speaks the truth, just go and floats through life, you know, as a Heisman Trophy winner, MVP winner. And maybe he was basically telling the truth, but poor Paul Pierce just sitting around saying, I'm watching a football game, what's happening right now?
Imagine that. You're Paul Pierce, you're a Hall of Famer, you're sitting around, you're watching a game like everybody in America probably is. Fortunate, and then you gotta hear that.
Yes.
Like that's how I gotta get referenced tonight.
Oh,
I mean,
my
you know,
gosh.
Okay. I guess I'll have to deal with it. But my God, what a game. And Rich, I mean, and this is kinda inside the beltway from a TV perspective, but you have the tease, the 2-minute tease. There's a 2-minute warning.
Yes,
they come to me just to say, "Here's what we got coming up when this game ends."
Yep.
And sometimes, too many times, sadly, you know, the game's out of reach, and it really you're just sort of saying, "Hey, you know, you're begging people not to turn the television off." But in this moment, everything's still on the line. It's about to be a fourth down, and my producer's in my ear saying, "Holy bleep! Like Jackson's back on the field," and I'm saying, and they're like, "All right, 30." So there's this countdown, and I'm saying, is he in the huddle or is he on the field?
Right.
He's like, I'm not sure. I'm like, 10, 9. He's like, Jackson's in the huddle. I'm like, holy. So we're coming for this. Suddenly there's an urgency to this, which is all right. After this incredible game, yada, yada, yada. And Lamar Jackson is back on the field, handed to Levy, and he's like, it's 4th and 5, and he's in the huddle. It was this impossibly dramatic moment. And then, of course, he throws the touchdown, and then, you know, and we weren't done from there. So all of this, absent what happened in that last play of the game last night, was as captivating an NFL game as we've had all year, which, you know, is the treat we all are hoping for.
I got to admit to you, Scott Van Pelt, I'm sitting there, I'm watching your, you know, the post game show, and in which, by the way, Lisa Salters asked Lamar if he had anything left in the tank. Was that on purpose? I got to find that out. I mean, what a way to post that question.
You know the legendary John Sawatzky interviewing technique. I mean,
right.
if I missed
no
that
yes
part.
Or no question.
Anecdotes for having had a bathroom accident. I don't know. I didn't get that in the interview.
No, but I got to. You know, I'm sitting there watching your post game show, and you know, not many times in my current state of what I'm doing these days do I sit there and miss doing a highlight. You know what I mean? Like I don't sit around and sit there and say, you know, man, what a great game. I wish I was doing the highlight. Watching you do the highlight last night made me feel that way. And how, to me, Scott, the way you do it and your show in our world, I'm going to get serious with the TV talk here. In our world where everybody assumes that you've seen, all executives assume you've seen everything already in the palm of your hand because of what's going on Twitter and everything, that there's no use to stroll us down the way something that we just watched happened. I think mm-hmm. that's a bunch of crap. And that's why your show is crucial in my mind in many different ways and the way you do it. I was sitting there going, man, I wish I was doing this highlight right now, watching you do it last
night.
Well,
thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you for that. And
fact.
I appreciate it. But you know, having done it as well and as long as you have, that nobody that loves sports is bummed out to revisit that highlight Nobody. Mm. Like, no one's sitting there at 12 o'clock thinking, well, I just watched this incredible game. You know what I don't want to do? I don't want to hear any more about that.
Yeah.
You're sitting there going, holy crap, did that just happen? I want to watch it again. And some highlights are just highlights. But as you know, games like that that move you the way sports can move you when they're at their best, you don't have to fake the enthusiasm. You can channel your inner Stuart Scott and just be, you know, moved by the content. And that's what last night's game really was. So and it means a lot to hear you say that, because you've done this, you know, for many years, as have I. And so when you're sitting there thinking this would be a fun highlight to do, I'll tell you, you're right. that was a fun highlight to do.
I mean, so much going on in that game with just the way it started, the way it went back and forth, the way it ended. So before I let you go into the day, I mean, it sure looks like Lamar's back, like the Lamar that can go vertical, the Lamar that he slinged it around when he got it back after Baker Mayfield took the lead, you know, again, or to tie the game again. And he was running. He got 100 yards rushing. I mean, the MVP of 2019, I think for the first time all year, showed up last night, and the Browns are now officially, you could say, not the Browns of old. So, you know, what to make of the aftermath?
I agree with both those things. The Ravens, and I asked Lewis Riddick and Brian Greasy about it. I mean, and there's a bit of cliche in the idea of competitive spirit and the idea of what being a pro looks like. But I think the Ravens demonstrated both those things, right? You've got to have this game. And they figured out a way to win that game. And you look at their schedule and it feels favorable. The problem for the Ravens, in my opinion, is just that the AFC is so crowded that there are more good teams than there are spots available for those good teams. So that becomes the challenge for the Ravens, most notably. But for Cleveland, and Lewis Riddick, who played for them and has a connection to the city, said, and I agree, that what happened last night, like, this isn't about years ago and Ernest Byner fumbling and years of quarterbacks that weren't good or whatever. But none of that has anything to do with last night. They played a hell of a football game and they lost. But they played the kind of a game, and Baker Mayfield played the kind of a game, where if you were going to face them in the playoffs, you would think, this is not going to be a whole lot of fun, because they were capable of answering every time they had to answer. So I think what you saw were two excellent football teams that played the game of the year, and it felt every bit like a playoff game. And it ended with people pitching it all over the field, and a bonus 2 points at the end that gave us a fun little segue to our goofy little show.
Scott,
so, wins all around.
Man, it was great last night watching the game and then seeing you do your thing, and that's why I wanted to have you on to chit-chat about it, get your perspective day after. Thanks for the call. I know you got your podcast to do and being all sorts of Van Pelty, so thank you for the call.
Appreciate you, my friend. Happy holidays to you and yours, and same as always, I appreciate you being out there watching. As you always know, we're doing the same with you guys, so it's just a big, giant love, and I'm hugging you from afar.
Attaboy. Thank you, Scott. That's Scott Van Pelt, at Not the Fakes SVP, right here on the Rich Eisen Show. Oh, man. That's what we love about this world, that we're able to live in the toy department. You have no idea what we could possibly talk about.
Man, oh, man.
Oh, man, let's take a break. We'll be back. Your phone call is 844-204-RICH. I do have an old-gen stat from last night's game, and it is not about Racine versus Louisville or whatever we saw last night. It's a great old-gen stat coming up. Now, there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live. Drawing, sharing, and building ideas with everyone on the same page. And make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, as we're now officially looking over the steering wheel at week 15, I've got one team in particular on my week 15 radars, through also looking down the rest of the road that's coming up on my four down segment at the top of the next hour before we get to Joe Thomas. Browns and Giants, boy, is that a must win, must have for both teams? I mean, it's week 15. Giants watch the Washington football team leapfrog them in the standings. The Giants have that back pocket tiebreak on them because they swept the Washington football team this year. Browns need a win because the Ravens have a back pocket tie break on them. And everybody's got a tie break on everybody. Everybody's got a tie break on everybody in the AFC, right? You said the Browns have a tie break on the Colts, who have a tie break on the Dolphins.
Right.
Right?
Exactly.
And the Ravens have a tie break on the Browns. Everybody's got a tie break against everybody.
Everyone's got tie breaks.
So, good stuff, man. Right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We're back here on the Mightier 1090 and Sirius XM Channel 211 NBC Sports Audio. What are you laughing about?
I just saw this. Marlon Humphrey this morning.
The Ravens cornerback.
He tweeted out a poll. Did Lamar wash his hands after his Paul Pierce stunt last night?
That's how I kept thinking.
Oh, my gosh. Yes or no?
It's got 15,000 votes. I mean, I'm going
to. You know what? I'd say you got to vote yes. Vote yes.
I hope yes. Just, only 40% yes.
Oh, that's terrible. I feel for him. I feel for him because, you know, I've told the story about my SportsCenter commercial.
Please share it again, Rich.
I told you about my SportsCenter commercial back in the day. Stuart Scott and I are in a men's room. Stuart's washing his hands, and I come out of a stall, and then a jockey comes out of a stall, and then a horse walks behind Stuart, who just kind of gives you one of these looks like, that's strange, and then just goes back to washing his hands and whistling. And I was not pleased about the construct of this commercial, not because I wasn't front and center, and Stuart was, not because I was coming out of a stall. It was because I was coming out of a stall, and they insisted that I leave frame right away because, again, had to be me. The setup was me leaving the stall, a jockey leaving the stall, and then the horse walking across. It's a 30-second commercial. You got to keep pace to get all the beats in for the button sight gag of the horse.
Right.
And I said to the director of the commercial, you have to let me wash my hands before I leave frame. Like, I will not portray myself as somebody who has just done a Paul Pierce, which...
Didn't exist yet. Yeah.
Paul might not even been in the league yet when I was shooting this commercial.
Maybe not.
But I basically said you cannot have me walk out of a stall and not wash my hands. And they're like, for the purposes of the commercial, there's not enough time for you to wash your hands and leave. And my fix was, if you see the commercial, I'm leaving the stall with my hands in my pockets. Because at least that, I don't know why, it made me think at least it show. Obviously I had to use my hands to do whatever business is going on. It just made no sense. It was my only way to sleep that night. And I said, can you have the water running? Just let my hands wash through it and I'll leave. No, can't. Sound guy pulls me over and goes, Rich, it's much more important for you to wash your hands before going in to the bathroom. I'm like, that doesn't help. So sure enough, cut to commercial airs. Yep. Truly about a week later, I'm at Yankee Stadium for ESPN Radio's coverage of the World Series. Walking on the field, somebody screams out from the stands, hey, Eisen, why don't you wash your hands when you go to the can?
The can.
Why don't you wash your hands when you go to the can?
And
I'm like, oh, my God. It's my nightmare.
It came true.
Now here comes Lamar.
That is your nightmare.
Now here comes Lamar. Heisman Trophy winner. MVP. Madden cover athlete. And man who had to go into the locker room, rest of the world, and players think he was pooping. And again, just the evidence for the fact that you trust him is he's a trustworthy guy. He's a guy who, from all intents and purposes, again, just has a way of life to just say what's on his mind, and he's honest. And he's likable because he's honest. Come in here. Yeah, they're calling out our plays. He could have easily shaded the truth, but just told it and didn't think there would be repercussions. Just being honest. He's being honest. He didn't pull a Paul Pierce. But like Will Compton, co-host Bussin' with the Boys just tweeted out the video of him waddling to the locker room. And then again, the thing that is my piece of evidence is we've all done this. Whoever was the poor Ravens, either clubhouse worker or member of the staff who was doing his or her job, their job in the locker room, unfortunately, was leaving the room just as Lamar was trying to get in. And you see Lamar just waves that person like, get up, get up. I got to get in there. Now, he could be like, I'm cramping and I got to get to this IV as soon as possible because I got to get back on the field as soon as possible. And if he was doing his business, that was a very long time of business. Like, literally, he had to have had a book in there. You know what I mean? Like, he had to have, like, been one of, like, my kids read on the toilet.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, they're like, and he'd be like, do you think someone's knocking on the door? Like, Lamar, you know? I mean, right, this is the second series for McSorley here. We're now only up by six. You know, and six divided by what you're doing right now is three. And that's how many games we got left after the season. That's going, you know, down the drain, kind of like what you're doing. Like, I mean, there's different way like to try and get him out of there. But it does seem like, okay, the IV had to go in and the drip. It took enough time.
Could have been read the playbook in there. Yeah. You know.
But his teammates, I mean, RG3. Putting that tweet up, and now Marlon Humphrey's like, did he wash his hands? And all I'm saying is I've been there, Lamar.
Yes, you have.
I've got, you know, I can't run, I can't pass like you, and I don't have a Heisman.
Well, you can run like him. Chill,
thank
bro.
You, brother.
Yeah, come on.
Ready for the old gen stat? Hit me, please.
Old gen stats!
I missed that.
Okay, old gen stats here on the Rich Eisen show. Now, a lot was made of the 9 rushing touchdowns last night. Wow. Last time that happened was in 1922, two games between teams that you've never heard of. You know, what was one like from Louisville, one was from Racine or whatever. I just decided, I'm wondering this, Lamar versus Baker, Heisman v. Heisman, the 89 points, was that the highest scoring NFL game between two Heisman Trophy quarterbacks going against each other?
Like, and
where
your head's answer, at.
The answer from NFL research came back, yes, it was. The 89 combined points by those two guys last night, Lamar versus Baker Mayfield, was the set a new all-time record for the highest scoring game in which both starting quarterbacks were former Heisman winners. The prior record came when Roger Staubach's Cowboys beat Jim Plunkett's 49ers 42-35 in Week 13, 1977, when they combined for 77 points in that game. That's your old gen stat here on the Rich Eisen Show. There you go.
How about that?
77 combined points in that game. Staubach v. Plunkett. And last night, Lamar v. Baker. And I'll tell you what, you know, there are some great young quarterback matchups that we're going to be watching for years to come. Twice a year, that's one of them, man. That's one of them. Baker ran one in, slid one. I mean, he's got a gun for an arm. I remember when we sat there at the combine and watched the ball pop out of his hands, and we're like, okay.
That Hail Mary at the end of the half.
Okay.
He threw it out of the end zone.
Right. Yeah. And that was a combine where we emerged with thinking Saquon was number one because of what he looked like. And then it wound up being Baker. I mean, the ball just flies out of his hands, man. And so, and we're going to see that matchup. You've got Kyler and Russ as a matchup of kind of young versus old, which Russ is now, or older or aging. I mean, it's great. I can't wait to see this twice a year now.
I tweeted that to you last night, Rich. I said, we're going to see these dudes twice a year.
You're going to see them twice a year. Joe Thomas will be joining us here. In hour number 2 of the Rich Eisen Show. Don't you dare go anywhere on radio. Peacock, stick around. We're not going anywhere right now. So we're here for another 90 seconds right here on Peacock.
That's a good idea for a poll, Rich. What's the best division quarterback rivalry?
Okay. Current, right now?
Yeah, current.
I mean, you got to – Breeze and Ryan, by the way, have faced each other more than any quarterback combination in the history of the NFL. And both Ryan v. Breeze matchups fell within this month that Breeze isn't played.
How about for the next 5 years then?
Okay. Lamar and Baker.
Yeah.
Is a good one.
Lamar v. Baker. We got Russ versus Kyler.
That's a good one.
But we're not going to see those guys for a while, right?
Tua versus Josh Allen. Throw that one in there, brother.
Tua versus
Throw that one in there. We're going to see the first one of those in week 17. Can't wait for it.
That'll be fun.
Deshaun, man, there's no good rivalry there.
Anyone with Mahomes?
You got Mahomes and Justin Herbert, but I don't think we're there yet. I don't think that combination beats you.
Herbert's going to be dope, man.
No, I know that. Fantasy-wise, that's kind of off the charts. Hold on a minute. Don't just, you know, we still have time to...
And I'm still workshopping.
Don't do this all willy-nilly or...
Pitchy-pitchy-woo-woo.
Thank you. That's what I was going for. Don't go all pitchy-pitchy-woo-woo on me here. Or the green... What is it? The green apple? What was that one? Green apple shake? Quick step. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.